I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I've been cheating on you with Korean food. I know that you're an Italian cooker and that you cook amazing Italian meals and American-based meals, but every time I leave the house, I'm going to a gopchang restaurant or a bulgogi restaurant, and I just feel like it's been weighing on my heart so much that you need to know.
Wives always know.
Yeah.
You've come home the last few weeks, almost every day, reeking of kimchi.
Yeah.
Last night, as we were sleeping, you were knocked out, completely fast asleep, and you just were farting all night.
I don't know how to hide it anymore.
It was just garlic.
Yeah,
it was garlic. Just fermented garlic. Truly, actually, babe, it was really bad. And I was just like, shit. Literally. Did she? No, babes, I know this about you. What are you talking about?
Listen, you guys.
You have literally not had anything but Korean food.
For like 2 months.
You know what I love? I love that when we go to these restaurants, people come up to Raven, and not to say like, are you Raven? They go, have you tried this before? Like old Korean men will come up in broken English and they're so taken. They think that we've like gotten lost and we've ended up in the wrong place and that you've ordered the wrong thing and you didn't understand. And you're like, oh no, come sit me down. I know. You're literally
and then
like,
I'm like, give me the sesame oil when I get my steamed egg because you don't think I know what I'm talking about.
You most definitely know what you're talking about.
I just want for those who've never tried it to understand how warm it is, how warm it is on my soul. Everywhere you go, even for a mass franchised Korean place, the food still tastes like someone cares. Sometimes you can go to certain restaurants and be like, oh, it was good, but you know, I've never been to a Korean food place that I haven't enjoyed. I have to rotate them, otherwise I feel weird.
Yeah, like I'm going too much.
They know me. I walk into one place, Loeongbal, and this woman comes up to me and she's like, I'm like, hi.
Yeah, literally, they embrace each other. They can't wait to see each other again.
I tried sundae for the first time a couple of weeks ago, which is blood sausage.
Yeah,
I had to buy it from the grocery store. It is delicious.
I wish I liked Korean food more. Growing up, lived really close to Koreatown, and my mom was very adventurous food-wise, so we would go to the malls, and we'd go to HK, and we would shop at Korean places, and a lot of my classmates were Korean, and I would always love their lunches.
Jealous.
Because they would bring bibimbap and curry or seaweed and rice that would come.
Kimbap
and kimchi.
Is good, too.
One girl, she always used to bring a curry that she would have over rice, and it was so, so good.
Yeah.
But I never fully got on board with Korean barbecue. And I remember having a friend who was obsessed with bulgogi and would just rave over it or Korean short rib. And I'm just not much of a meat person, I guess, in general.
Korean barbecue brings me so much joy. I bought a Korean barbecue system. I have coals. I have all the things.
Yeah,
you do. And as soon as the weather permits, I'm going back outside. She has a video of me. You can place it here. She has a video of me outside in my own element just cooking my Korean barbecue.
Yeah, so cute.
Oh, it's so delicious.
You're so cute.
Anyway,
I just wanted
to tell you my little secret, if you didn't already know, and how much I love you. And
I appreciate you giving me your confession.
Thank you.
This is my confession.
I say not gonna lie, can say my chick on the Korean barbecue said she got one on the way. These are my banchans.
Hachima! Put your hand in there. If you're Korean, you know what I just said.
Tell me what we're talking about today. So funny, because I was going to bring up this topic or the Korean barbecue.
Well, what's the topic?
Babies.
Babies?
Yeah. I was going to either talk about babies right before and tell you, but I'm glad that we didn't.
Do we want to have them or not?
Everybody wants to know. Why is that so important to everybody in the world?
It is funny, isn't it?
It's like, that's the one question every... Are you guys going to have babies? Why? You going to help raise it?
It's actually a really interesting thing, because I don't know many people that I ask that.
Yeah, because I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
That's not
either.
Why I'm in your life, to know if you're going to procreate.
So do you want to have babies?
Yeah, sure. Let's have some babies.
I care if you want to have babies.
I care if you want to have babies.
But yeah, I don't
really
care
about strangers.
No, because I think we understand where we sit on it, but we can talk about it now. How do you feel about it today?
I definitely want to be able to say before I die that we raised a child together. I know how challenging it can be as a lesbian couple to have babies. And the reason it's challenging is because there's so many different ways to have it. It's about finding the right one for us.
It's because we're missing that dick.
The working one, at least.
Oh my God.
oh my God. But yeah, I hear you, babe. As a doula, as someone who adores babies, do you want babies?
Okay, so from the time I was a little girl, I mean like 5 years old, I remember putting these balls under my shirt and looking at myself. My mom used to buy me like those big balls that you would get at like a crate in the grocery store, mm-hmm. rainbow balls, plastic, whatever. And I would look at myself and pretend I was pregnant. I begged my mom for a baby sister. The answer, honestly, from the time I was little, was yes. The work as a doula has made me look at it from another lens, another perspective. And as I've gotten older, I think it does become harder in ways to have someone demand so much of you. But I think having a family with you would make me extremely happy. I think that I'm going to have the reservations kind of like I did with our puppy, where I just am like, this is big change, not that badly, but like, this is big change. I have to be as prepared as I can be for it, but I'll never be prepared enough because there's no such thing, you know? I think like you just kind of have to do it. But I'm also watching The Strange Life of Natalia Grace, and they adopted that little girl, and then their life got like fucking ruined. So I'm like, I don't know. Because if we're not birthing them, and I don't know if I want to be pregnant,
Why don't you want to be pregnant?
I don't know if it's for me. I just don't know if it's for me. Not so much because I'm afraid of labor and delivery, but I think mentally, like with what I've had to deal with in terms of my body and my appearance, that would be a hard one for me to overcome. The physicality of it all. I don't know. I mean, like as a doula, I know every woman's body can do it. But when you just watch it time after time after time and you see some really traumatic ones, it imprints on you a little bit.
Being with you and you sharing some of your stories has definitely jaded me a little bit when it comes to carrying. I always said when I was younger that I would carry because I just want people to take care of me and I would milk the hell out of it. I need my feet rubbed. I need this. But I was also at the mindset that I would not be that pregnant person whose hormones overtook their mental ability to like rationalize life for real.
You can't control that, honey.
Well, I know I can't now, but when I was younger, I'm like, I'm never going to be that way. I'm not going to fight for no reason. And then as I get older, even my period, I'm like, what the hell just happened? Every woman has the ability, but not every woman's journey is going to be rainbows and sunshines with pregnancy. And with you teaching me that, labor and delivery kind of got a little scary and, you know, the things that happen there. So, yes, do I want a child that grows inside of me and I have that connection and all of that? Sure. Do I also know that every egg that's inside of me is also the egg that was inside of my mother that also holds the trauma and pain and sicknesses that are dormant or not dormant, and then I have to deal with that as well. That's scary.
Genetics are
scary. Do we make enough in our lifestyle to where a surrogacy is possible? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Do we make enough to adopt and allow another child's life to be well off in certain circumstances? Sure, we do. I do think, though, that rather than adopting, you know, a six-year-old for our first go-round as a child, definitely would love a baby first to have that experience.
I, too, would want a newborn. I would want the experience of maybe meeting a woman who knew it within her pregnancy that she wanted to place her baby up for adoption. Part of the problem is everyone has their cautionary tales. I go through this a lot with people, friends of mine who have babies, and you know, I did this a lot in the doula world. Everyone has their fear. Everyone gets inundated essentially with, well, don't do a surrogate, don't adopt. If you're going to get pregnant, make sure you do this and do this and don't use that bottle and don't use this diaper and don't use that. There's so much information and it's so overwhelming for so many people. And I am guilty of that overwhelm. I feel that too. And we've talked to people who are like, don't you guys adopt and don't use a surrogate because you can't control what they're eating and it's really expensive and blah, blah. And I'm like, look, I kind of have to like push everything out, quiet my mind and trust in us and how our journey has been thus far.
When people start telling you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, I went through this and this is what happens, I wouldn't recommend it. The only thing they're doing is shielding you from their experience. You never know, if you make a different choice, it might be different for you. So you really have to be careful about people's opinions and recommendations. My mom said it best. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has them.
I totally get that. And that's why even when I used to work,
quiet it out.
When I used to work with people and they would be like, oh my gosh, my friend over here said this was the best pacifier. And my friend over here, thank you. She's fixing me like a baby. And she's like, my friend over here said that this was like the best bottle and the only bottle. And this bottle though has like BPA, but this bottle is slow flow nipple. And they said that I have to burp the baby this way and I have to sit the baby up for 10 minutes after. And maybe she has gas. It's like, okay, everyone, let's calm down. Because look, all of those things may be true, but your baby, her mouth might actually like the nipple that the other baby didn't. And she might actually need a faster flow. And then she might need to sit up for 10 minutes, but your baby also may not and could just go straight to swaddle. And, you know, it's like you just have to be willing to be open to the process and the journey and understand that there is not one truth. There's not one way. Never. And that at the end of the day, everything is a learning experience. And that's why people are always like, oh yeah, first baby I was this way. And by third baby, I was like, whatever.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
We have a baby.
Okay.
Uh-huh. What do you want that child to call you?
Mom.
Mom?
Mom.
Mommy.
No. Mommy?
I think I'm mom. I don't think I'm really mommy. I think you're more mommy.
I think I'm mommy. I'm also like ma.
Hey ma, what's up?
Hey ma!
I don't know. What would you want to be called?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. There's like an in-between. Definitely like mommy. No, that's you. Definitely mommy, but like maybe ma. I also would kind of let them choose too. I don't want to be that parent that's teaching mommy, daddy. It's just like, I also don't mind the children that call their parents by their first name.
I do. That's weird to me.
I like it.
I think that's weird. I don't want that. I know a few lesbians who have had kids, and there's mom, mommy, I knew mom, and Bubba.
I also like, speaking of Korean food, Oppa and Oma. I think those are absolutely beautiful names.
You're such a Korean person. I don't, you see, the fact that you feel connected with Oppa and Oma, like, I definitely would never say, like, call me Oma. Like, I love Koreans. Like, I'm so down for it, but it's just, like, not. In the same way that I wouldn't tell my kid to call me Mummy, even though, like, I have British.
Mummy!
British
mummy.
Family.
Come on, that's so cute.
Sure.
What if our child just randomly had an English accent? Let's just send it away for a while to get it an English accent so when they come back, Mummy!
Anyway, Oppa.
Babies, I think they're amazing. I think that one thing that sucks about the baby culture is the innate motherhood that is missing from the American society. I feel like there needs to be a little bit of education about the female body and what we can do and what we're allowed, and the education of what us as human animals are actually capable of.
I remember a cousin of mine got pregnant, and I was pretty surprised in having conversation with her to hear how uneducated she was about the things that were happening. She just like didn't even know what her placenta was.
Mm-hmm.
And no judgment, you know.
None.
I think
it's your fault.
No, it's a reflection again of society. You're saying, like, and what we value and what we teach and what we have conversation about. But it is why I think work as a doula was so impactful and important to me, and why continuing to have conversations like this are important. I think that so many women are shocked to find how difficult breastfeeding is, because they think it's just like, oh, here's my boob and baby gets on and sucks. And it's so much more complicated than that. And it's honestly a relationship you have to develop with this baby.
But it's also not so complicated.
It is.
No, it's complicated, but it's also not so complicated, because like you said to me, it's like there's body cues. Like if you go to groups of humans that aren't within a first world society, they're going to figure it out.
The reason why it's actually, we find it more complicated here, is because we talk about it. We talk about the pain that women experience. I think that when you're talking about maybe like indigenous people or people in other countries who just have to deal with it, those women are experiencing the same kinds of pain and confusion, but they don't have any other outlet or any other option than to feed their child via their breast. So come hell or high water, we're going to figure it out. Here, there is a difference in the sense that like you can be a bit more coddled and you can be walked through things and you can hire lactation consultants and you can talk to your girlfriends about it. So there is more of a vocal nature around that. But I think what I'm
and there's just a community from the smaller communities that you're talking about, the indigenous people, like the grandmother, the great grandmother, the mother, they're all there to help that girl go through what she's going through. And now, like, I remember my mom is like, oh no, I'm not gonna talk about that. That was a horrible experience. I'm not gonna tell you. You know what I mean? It's like we that maternal.
But again, I know, oh my God, I think almost everyone I worked with had a mother-in-law, a grandmother who wanted to be present, and they did not want that. I think it's very
specific. What is that?
They're often too aggressive. They insert their opinions and their ideas too much, and they don't want that. They want to do it on their own. And I respect that fully. I would not want my mother-in-law telling me how to breastfeed with babies, and especially people who have done it before think that they hold all the answers and you have to do it their way or you're doing it wrong. And then it leaves the mother feeling like something's wrong with me, something's wrong with my baby, I'm inadequate. And that's not true. It's really hard work, and it's going to try and test and impact people in different ways. And where someone might really be impacted by the lack of sleep, someone else might really struggle with breastfeeding. And where someone else could have this like fantastic situation with breastfeeding, they might have a really hard recovery because they tore more than someone else, or they just, their body is slower to recover. There are so many different variables. It's highly individual, but then also it's highly understandable because so many women go through it.
Sure. Mom, the baby didn't latch on the way you wanted to. Let me figure it out. This is me. Not necessarily, I haven't met anybody. This is literally just my head. I'm thinking I have a baby right here. It's not latching on. I'm going to do what my mom did with my brother. I'm going to do the things that I've heard. And then I'm going to figure out what's right for me. And I think that there's something in the air where people don't want to figure it out for themselves. They want to hire someone really quick to do it for them so they can get it done.
People have lost the confidence in themselves to find the solution and we outsource, and that's how we've learned to kind of work in society. It's like, I have to find an expert, I have to be taught this thing, I don't know how to do it. So that innate primal instinct that we've kind of detached from. But at the same time, I understand it because there are so many variables. So like, you could do everything that you know, that you've heard, that you were taught, your baby's not latching, come to find out your baby has a really severe tongue tie. You wouldn't have known that and you wouldn't know how to fix that. Yeah, until you go to the doctor and then their tongue is cut. And then all of a sudden they can latch. Like,
so a tongue tie is a real thing? What's it look like?
Yeah, it's when the frenulum essentially is too short that they can't open their mouth and they can't suck and latch on.
What the fuck is a frenulum?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's that thing at the underneath of your tongue.
And when that's too short, and then they'll snip it, and then the baby has length and can move and suckle.
That's cool.
Again, there's just so many different things at play. Like my mom breastfed me easily. I latched well. She loved it. She had all of her oxytocin going. Her letdown was easy. She could not breastfeed my sister. She wanted to desperately because she loved it with me so much, but she couldn't. Her breasts were so engorged. My sister was so tiny. My mom described it as like when she would try and feed my sister would basically just be suffocated and swallowed because her head was so much smaller than my mom's breast, and my mom had all this milk and my sister couldn't, and it was just hell for them. Yeah. Like, they couldn't figure it out. And it's just, everyone
is different.
Everyone is different, and everyone has their right to their own journey, their own process, their own learning curve. And if you choose to have a family, then you have to commit to that journey. And that's why I think it is very important for people to know themselves well enough and know their partner well enough to say, we really want to commit to this. Because I think that's the other thing. A lot of people just rush into it and think Kylie Jenner makes it look easy.
It'll figure itself out. Yeah.
It'll figure itself out. And it will, because you're stuck with it. So you have to figure it out. But at the same time,
putting in that work. And, you know, it's also about the partnership. We had this conversation in the car. And, you know, if you carried / if I carried, we know that the other partner that's not dealing with the constant of breastfeeding or doing that is the other partner's safety net.
Yeah.
Like, that partner is there to support that human and not take it personally if anything goes weird or wrong. You are there as the support
of the birthing person.
Yeah. I'm always the one to know I'm going to get in where I fit in, and I don't want to overtake a situation. You know, if you're handling nights, I'm gonna let you handle nights. I'm gonna let you figure it out. If you're struggling with nights, mm-hmm. then I'm gonna insert myself and help.
I remember talking to Adrian, our friend Adrian Bylone, who I'm sure she's been very vocal about these things, and some of you might have heard about it. But Adrian was talking to us about having a surrogate, and it was interesting, right? Because she's so honest, and she was like, part of me had to really go through the grief process of knowing I wasn't going to be pregnant, and then I overcame that, and then part of me was so grateful that I didn't have to have those sleepless nights. Like, I was up in the night with the baby, but I wasn't going through recovery as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a huge
undertaking.
And I think, you know, we talked about this the other day because a friend of ours just had a baby. But when you think about any other extreme physical sport or anything, you're running a marathon, you're training for Everest, you train, you execute the mission, and then you recover.
And you go on vacation.
Yeah. When it comes to childbirth, it's like,
You train, carry.
Then you go through the delivery. And whether it's a C-section, a medicated birth, an unmedicated birth, it is intense. It is a lot. It takes a lot of your body. And then you need recovery, but you have this being that you have to leave with and care for 24/7 because it's entirely dependent on you. And if you choose to breastfeed, you are its sole link to survival. It's a wild, wild, beautiful, intense, raw, primal, crazy
thing. And I think we've done ourselves a disservice in society to not educate ourselves more in what is our human natural ability to procreate.
Well, the female body is extraordinary. It's incredibly powerful. And if women choose to use their body to birth, incredible. And if they don't want to have babies, fantastic. Incredible. I have insane respect for people who know that they don't want kids and know themselves well enough to know that.
And we have the education and intelligence to make that decision on our own.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we haven't done a service to anyone who wanted to know if we wanted kids or not, because we sure as hell didn't answer that question.
Yes, we did.
Anyway, not really.
Yes, then we did. Went, I said we yes should, and you said yes, but then you were like, not really.
But then we went all around. And now it's like, you know, I don't know.
Because I don't need y'all anyway, to be all up in my business about if I want babies or not.
It was a good button that we didn't answer the question, but then she went on. So I don't know where it ends.